The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's International Pancake Day, Tony. You like pancakes, don't you?
Tony Kornheiser, I do, but that's not why they call me Hotcakes.
Okay, I've been around you for 4 or 5 decades now. I've yet to hear anybody say, hey, Hotcakes, can you sign this autograph? I haven't heard that.
Well, you know, you're not around me at night. Actually, I'm asleep at night. You remember when Jim Palmer's nickname was Cakes? Because he ate pancakes
just
all the
cakes.
Time?
Yes. Jim Palmer? Yes. Yeah. I do remember that.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Deshaun Watson is spotted in Miami. J.J. Watt is intrigued by the Browns. And Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams advance to face each other at the Australian Open. But we begin today with Draymond Green. Green is concerned that NBA players are facing a different standard when they ask to be traded than NBA teams are facing when they decide to sit a player and then trade him. But don't listen to me. Let's listen to Draymond from last night.
At some point, as players, we need to be treated with the same respect and have the same rights that the team can have. Because as a player, you're the worst person in the world when you want a different situation. But a team can say they're trading you, and that man is to stay in shape. He is to stay professional. And if not, his career is on the line.
Wilbon, what do you make of all this?
I love this. I mean, this is one of the reasons why, you know, I love talking and listening to Draymond Green, whether I agree with him on a specific issue or not. This is totally intriguing because you have people out there now that the club is saying, okay, we're going to hold you out like Blake Griffin, like Drummond. We're going to hold you out while we explore the possibility of trade. We don't want you to get hurt. We don't want anything to happen to you. We're going to hold you out. And Draymond is such a great advocate in this way, Tony. And he's saying, wait a minute, when it comes to Harden and Kyrie and others who have been traded in the past or they were going to be on the trade block, people killed them for requesting a trade or saying, I want out of here. But yet, if the team says we're going to get you out of here, the team doesn't suffer that same sort of, you know, pushback from the public. You know, they're not under any pressure. They're not ridiculed. He is absolutely right about this. Now, I don't think there are rights involved. I think it's a matter of perception and how the general public, the sporting public, the basketball public perceives these guys. But he is so right about the player bearing the brunt of the responsibility in the team. We'll get rid of you when we want to and you'll take it. And it's a great conversation Draymond has raised.
Yeah, so I think of Draymond Green as deliberately and consistently provocative. I think that he is an advocate for players' rights. I think he's probably somewhat of an idealist. I have to confess, I never thought about this issue in this way at all. I always thought that the team showed you respect by paying you a lot of money. As Don Draper said, that's what the money's for. Draymond Green, for example, will make $22 million this year. To me, that shows respect. I'm trying to see it from his point of view, and to this degree, I think I can. That you, as a player, can be the victim of a whisper campaign about your character if you ask to leave. But I never thought it was wrong for a team to sit a player when they were going to trade him for fear that he would get hurt. And my pushback on this, Mike, and it may be similar to yours, is that players almost always get what they want. For example, Anthony Davis wanted to leave New Orleans and wanted to go to the Lakers, and he's on the Lakers. And James Harden specifically said, I want to go to the Nets, and he's on the Nets. And I believe that Drummond and Griffin will probably be in a better situation. So it's not that I think Draymond Green is wrong. I'm intrigued by it, but honestly, I never thought of it that way. I don't know that
I ever thought of it either, Tony, but the trade lately, you have this dynamic between players who want to control their own lives in ways that previous generations of players could not, didn't dare ask. They'd be thrown out of town, if not the league. and you have teams that can still maneuver players. And again, there's no ridicule. And Draymond is right about that dynamic. There's no question about that dynamic, that the player is held to a different standard by the sporting public. Yeah. Now, is that fair? Is it not fair? It's a great conversation. I hadn't thought of it either.
I agree with that. But again, my pushback would be that in the history, the recent history of the NBA, particularly if you're a good player, you get to go where you want to go. You actually do. You achieve the exact thing you want, and it's happened for 10 or 15 years now.
If you're a great player.
That's right.
James Harden can get that. Listen, let me tell you right now, Drummond and Blake Griffin, they're not going to get it, though. They're not going to have that leverage.
I think they're going to be in a better circumstance than they are right now on losing teams.
Maybe so. You know. It's fun to talk about, though. This is gonna stay out there for a while, Tony. It's not the last time we're going to get into this issue. Let's move to the NFL and breathless speculation about an Instagram photo featuring Deshaun Watson. The image shows the Texans quarterback hanging out in Miami with, among others, Dolphins players Raekwon Davis and Christian Wilkins, who was a teammate of Watson's at Clemson. Miami is reportedly Watson's preferred trade destination. What a stunner. Let's go to South Beach. You like to read into everything, Tony. So what do you read into this?
I think Deshaun Watson is leaving breadcrumbs on the trail. I think he's planting clues. I think this is a clue. If I understand this correctly, this photo was put out by his marketing guy. Okay, I don't believe it's possible for a marketing guy who is being paid by Deshaun Watson to do marketing to not consult Deshaun Watson before he puts this out, because that would be the quickest way to be an ex-marketing guy. In terms of Miami, that makes sense to me. They are an up-and-coming team. There's a player or two that he played with in Clemson. They have a black coach that mattered to him when he was in Houston before Culley was named. That was an important consideration. Now I think the next step is exploring whether or not you trade him for Tua and a number one pick.
Well, the ball could be in Houston's court, the Texans' court, at some point. It's not there yet. But I don't think this takes too much, you know, tea leaf reading, which I accuse you of doing because you do love it. The first reports were Miami. Miami was the team in question when this first came up. There's no shock there. There's no shock that young players like to go to Florida if they can, South Florida if they can, where there are all kinds of maybe advantages with weather and old taxes and any number of things. South Beach. So this is not a shock, Tony. You don't need to leave breadcrumbs. And if you have a guy recruiting you, a teammate or two, particularly that you liked, and they're saying, hey, listen, let's sit down and talk about this. We'd love to have you. I'm sorry, some leagues might want to call that tampering stupidly. But, Tony, I mean, this is the first place now that Deshaun Watson will be rumored to go if Miami has the assets that interest the Houston Texans management.
But they do. They have a number one pick, which at one point belonged to Houston before the Laramie Tunsil trade. And they have Tua. I should remind people, Tua was a great college quarterback. He won a national championship. He's not some guy. You know, he's a really great prospect. And if you're Houston, and I understand why Houston says we don't want to trade him now. They don't have to. It's February. But you get closer to the draft deadline in late April, and if you become convinced that Sean Watson's going to sit out, this is good trade for you, and he wants to go. What's the problem here? Our next story is about J.J. Watt, who, unlike Deshaun Watson, is free to sign wherever he wants. Mary Kay Cabot writes in The Plain Dealer, that place could be Cleveland. She says Watt is seriously considering Cleveland because they have a roster he thinks can compete for a Super Bowl, and they have plenty of cap space to accommodate him. Wilbon, if you were J.J. Watt, would you be entranced with Cleveland?
Hell yeah. J.J. Watt knows he's wearing 99, but he knows a guy wearing 95 can be somewhere else on that line, and they can wreak havoc on people. Even at a time and place in the NFL that doesn't want defense to succeed, those guys can wreak havoc. And Cleveland is as reasonably close as anybody. I mean, you know, Kansas City wasn't a lock, and they're going to be teams chasing them, and Cleveland's going to be one of them. Cleveland was already one of them. So, yes, why not? Why not Cleveland? And they also have room to pay him more money, cap space, they say, than some of the other teams, Tony, that are favored to be conference title contenders. So, yes, if you're why wouldn't you think of Cleveland, have them listed way up high on your wish list?
So for the people that don't know that Myles Garrett is that number, I will mention Myles Garrett on one side of the line and J.J. Watt on the other side of the line. I would not go to Cleveland, even though they have that, and they looks like under Kevin Stefanski, their offense has settled in. I would not go for two reasons. One, and you mentioned one of them, Kansas City. I don't want to be in the same conference as Kansas City because I think Kansas City's better. And two, I think over the last 8 to 10 to 40 years, we have come to realize that Cleveland is one small slip away from tumbling down the side of the trail. And, you know, you want to know what's going to happen with Odell Beckham. If I were J.J. Watt, I think I'd want to go to Green Bay. That's my home state.
You mean the team that just lost to Tampa Bay? You mean them? You're running away from Kansas City. You're scared of Kansas City, but not scared of Tom Brady?
No. No, not at 43. I think they've been more competitive more recently. I will say this. I would stay away from Pittsburgh because I think they're headed in the opposite direction, even though his brothers, I think, play. J.J. Watt's in a fabulous position, Mike. He can go anywhere he wants. I don't think money should be the factor. He's made $100 million in his career. I think winning should be the factor. So if I'm J.J. Watt, and Cleveland's fine, I want to go to the best contender I can go to. I want to do what Kevin Durant did. I want to go to the best team if I can.
Well, he went to the would-be champions. Champions once removed is what he went to.
All right, let's take a break. Still to come, James Harden had a triple-double for the Nets last night, but did Kyrie Irving do something even more impressive?
And Serena Williams has made it to the semifinals of the Aussie Open, but should Naomi Osaka be favored to win their match? That is appointment television. Serena versus Osaka.
Can I just go back to James Harden for a second? He was overweight before he started playing with the Nets. He clearly was out of shape. Everyone said that,
probably
including Draymond Green, right?
He can pass it, though, right?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, and after chewing on some issues, two men leave to read the bumps, the happies, and the big finish. What's your
inside baseball?
Toss-up. More impressive last night, James Harden or Kyrie Irving?
Let's not get too carried away. They beat the Sacramento Kings. It's a very bad team.
No, but they're
Kyrie
not a very bad team. Thanks for paying
attention. He was 15 of 22 from the field, 9 of 11 from three. Harden had 29, 14 assists, 13 rebounds, his fifth triple-double since going to the Nets. Look, they've switched positions. Kyrie has said, I'm the shooting guard. You're the point guard. And James Harden has responded fabulously and shown people he's not just a selfish scorer. In terms of the body of the work all year and the fullness of his responsibilities, James Harden has been tremendously impressive and deserves praise. In terms of this specific question, it's Kyrie Irving, more impressive last night. I shot 9 of 11 from 3.
11.
Come on.
Yeah, but like you, Tony, I got to give more credit, spend time giving credit to James Harden. And it's before Kyrie said, I'm the point guard, I'm the shooting guard, you're the point guard. It was before that. James Harden walked in and he assessed, right? He looked at the situation and he said, somebody has got to consistently pass the basketball here and be the facilitator primarily, and I'm fine with it. Even though
That's right.
1 year recently, James Harden averaged like 36 a game. He was in Jordan and Wilt land. He was there. But now he passes the ball with such precision, and he is setting up people as if he's Magic F. Johnson, the way he's been playing these, I don't know, 10, 12 games. So, Tony, I'm going to go with the overall big picture and say James Harden, even though Kyrie has been great. And Kyrie's not playing tonight. Yeah. I got tickets to that game.
Don't go to
tickets.
The game.
I got tickets. What do you mean don't go?
To the game. Stand up,
Kyrie.
Your boy Book and your boy CP3. What's next?
Toss up. Who do you favor in their upcoming Australian Open semifinals? Serena Williams or Naomi Osaka?
Serena's running out of time. She's 39 years old. She needs one more major to catch Margaret Court with 24 majors. She has not won a major since the 2017 Aussie Open. She's not been to a final since the 2019 U.S. Open, where I believe Osaka beat her. She went 0-3 last year. She beat Halep yesterday. That's a really big win. You know,
big
Osaka's
win.
Won, I think, 19 matches in a row. She beat her in a final, although she says she gets nervous playing against her. My heart tells me it's Serena, but my head tells me it's Osaka, because these are the kinds of matches in the last couple of years that Serena has lost.
Yeah, Tony, I'm with you right to the letter on all of that. Osaka seems like she's in that place right now where she's going to be unbeatable for a while. She's in that Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan. She's in that window where you're going down if you're playing against her. The only athletic entity hotter than Osaka right now is the Utah Jazz, and we know how you dismiss them. But Osaka, Tony,
I mean,
she's just crushing people. And my heart is with Serena. I'm gonna watch this match no matter what time it comes on. I'm going to root for Serena. But Osaka has to be the answer to that question.
I had it wrong. It was a 2018 final at the U.S. Open that Osaka won. Serena lost to someone else on another one. That's it. Not a scratch on me, and I love Utah and Salt Lake City. Let's take one last break. In fact, I think they're going to win every game for the rest of the year. Still to come, Ben Simmons scores 42 while playing center for the Sixers.
That has a familiar ring, doesn't it, Tom? Well, you know, 42 years
it does.
Ago. In a game that the Utah Jazz won by 11. Still no respect for the Jazz, Tony. 19-1.
Does Ben Simmons have the baby hook? Does he have that? Because
the last
guy who had 42 in the middle. Ben Simmons has the baby hook?
He does. He doesn't have a three-point shot, but he's got the baby hook.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Happy time, people. Happy 62nd birthday, John McEnroe. There have been better tennis players than John McEnroe, more accomplished tennis players, although McEnroe's accomplishments are vast. He won 7 majors, the big ones, Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. He played in a golden era with Bjorn Borg, Jimmy Connors, and Yvonne Lendl, and you could throw a blanket over all of them. But McEnroe doesn't have the resume of Roger Federer, Pete Sampras, Rafael Nadal, or Novak Djokovic. Still, none of them were bigger figures than McEnroe. McEnroe's volcanic explosions of outrage on the court put him into a category of one, and there is no doubt now that McEnroe is the foremost authority in tennis because of decades of television work. He's the sport's biggest voice and most important arbiter. On a personal note, I am partial to his former mixed doubles partner, Mary Carrillo, who grew up around the corner from McEnroe in Douglaston, Queens.
Here, here to Mary. John McEnroe's my favorite male tennis player ever. I mean, we're the same age. I just sort of grew up just admiring McEnroe. I should never use the word admiring because he was so out there. He was more entertaining than any of those guys who have more slams. The game was more entertaining and stylish and provocative. McEnroe, that's why he's a bigger star, Tony. They were better players. He's a bigger, not even better. They accomplished more. He was a bigger star.
Not so happy anniversary, Blake Griffin. On this day 10 years ago, Baron Davis tried to feed Griffin an alley-oop that was short-circuited because Griffin banged his head on the side of the backboard. In those days, after being the number one overall pick by the Clippers, Griffin was a phenomenon. His jumping ability was unparalleled. Everyone remembers Griffin jumping over a car in the dunk contest. But as exciting as he was, we have to consider his basketball accomplishments disappointing. He never went to a conference final with the Clippers, and then he was shipped off to Detroit, where he now sits in limbo as his numbers diminish and he awaits being traded or bought out. Would it surprise you to know the last time Griffin dunked the ball in an NBA game was in December of 2019? Because it stunned me. Griffin has played 27 games since then. He has no dunks.
Tony, forget no dunks. He's averaging 12-5 in Detroit. His last full season, he averaged 24-8. How has he dropped that far? I mean, that's a dramatic drop. Somebody, I got to think that Blake Griffin has more, a little more in the tank than this.
Happy trails, Jalen Johnson. The highly touted Duke freshman has opted out of the rest of this college basketball season to prepare for the NBA draft. The 6'9 Johnson had an impressive debut at Duke with 19 points and 19 rebounds in the season opener against Coppin State. But Johnson has had foot problems, which caused him to miss three games. And he hasn't been in the starting lineup for the Blue Devils the last three games. Played only 8 minutes on Saturday against NC State. Mike Krzyzewski expressed concern about treating that foot properly, said he supports Johnson's decision to leave. It's pretty much a lost year for Duke at 8-8, and now it's officially a lost year for Johnson, whose one-and-done season is done. He leaves Duke having averaged 11.2 points and 6.1 rebounds a game, but he's projected to be a first-round NBA pick.
Tony, maybe this is a Kyrie Irving situation, where it didn't work out in the one game of however many, one season, however many games it is, but he pops up in the NBA and becomes a stud. Maybe that's in his future too.
It's certainly possible. Let's go to the big finish. Atlanta's mayor called the NBA All-Star Game a made-for-TV event, urged people not to travel to Atlanta or host local events for it. Does that make sense?
Tony, it makes sense because of the virus, but that's not the All-Star weekend experience, not anything close to it. The NBA postponed tonight's Pistons-Mavs game for weather, Spurs next four for COVID positives, and Hornets next two for tracing. Your thoughts.
Welcome to the NHL. The same thing is happening in the NHL. When you're out of the bubble, it's not as easy to do as it is when you're in the bubble for the playoffs. The Jazz beat the Sixers for their eighth straight, but Ben Simmons scored 42 while playing center. What's the bigger deal?
That's nice. The bigger deal is Utah killing people. Come on, Tone, you got to come around to Utah. How about some love? Florida
love
State
Utah.
Beat number 7 Virginia by 21 last night. What does that mean?
Florida State crushes at home. They do. Last one, Zion Williamson versus John Morant tonight. Who you got?
I don't know. When Memphis gets Jaren Jackson Jr. back, we can revisit that rivalry. It'll be time soon.
Out of time. Trying to better next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.